advantage for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
The Pandas were put back in their cage yesterday as the Bairns arrived in Paisley and took away all 3 points with a stunning 2-0 win. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am John McAnally, joined by the Ginger God of Pod himself, one man band in the main stance, Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yes, it's do you know, it's not just been a good weekend, it's been a good seven or eight days for the football club, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it has been very, very good. Aside from Scott Arfield signing for Livingston, I think that was always going to be the way. But like, let's not take a shine away from 3 points in the bag, you know. It was a good day yesterday. Good wee away day. It's the first time I've been to the Smyzer, Ross, and you know. Started in Glasgow, out to Paisley, and then back via Glasgow, couple of pints in Glasgow, and then end up in the station for a couple of pints. It was one of those ones where I was going to leave, and then someone had bought me another drink. So shout out to Yvonne Johnson for doing that as well, because I was about to leave, and then she goes, "Oh, I've just got your arm." I was like, "Oh no!"
So and then before you knew it, it was 1 a.m.
No, it was about 8:30, but I was in trouble when I got up the road. So.
And then you've just carried on today.
Yeah, I've got to be mad. I've had a very stressful Sunday, Ross, let me tell you. We got two new beds. They arrived on Saturday, and I have, you know, spent the whole afternoon building it. It's one of these Ottoman beds, so I'm not too sure if I've done it right, but when I got to a certain stage, I was like, oh, it's not going down. But I think I need to put the other part on it and put some weight on it for the mechanism to work. I don't know. Anyway, I pulled it back to pieces again, and I'm stressed, I'm sweating, and I wish I'd just paid the guy £100 to make up the bed.
I can feel your pain. I'm not a huge DIY person, and that sounds absolutely brutal.
And the instructions are brutal. And when I try to read the instructions, they make no sense. There's parts there that they showed in the instructions that didn't come in the box, and I'm just being it's been a stressful afternoon. It's going to continue to be a stressful night because I've still got to put the bed. Because it's not as if I need to fix it. I need to make it work tonight because we've got nowhere to sleep. So
you're literally going to be on the couch.
Literally going to be on the couch.
I can't even cheer you up by giving you any help because, as I say, I'm not a DIY guy. The only thing I will say, and this might make you smile, is that have you ever noticed that the word bed looks like a bed?
It does, doesn't it? There you go.
Yeah, that's the only contribution I can make
situation. But once we record this podcast, I'll be back to it. We're going to preview the Celtic game as well with our friend Craig McCaffrey. He's been on the podcast before. So we'll get to that. But first of all, we'll talk about the St Mirren game with our guest pundit, Dylan, who's going to join us as well. Just on the Arfield thing, what did you make of it? I mean, for me, it's like, fair enough. He came, he did what he said he would do, you know, and I know a lot of people been upset by the fact he signed for Livingston, but the money they're throwing about, you know, there's, you know, rumours of like they're willing to spend 10 grand a week on a striker, do you know what I mean?
And
there's no other club, I don't think, with the way Scott is, you know, like when you look at the clubs, Dundee United, you know, Aberdeen's, Hibs. And plus, you know, there has been the talk. I mean, he wasn't getting a game for us.
No.
You know, I do think he could have, there was a lot more we could have done with him in terms of using him and utilising him in games as a sub. But, you know, like, unfortunately, he just doesn't have the pace to be a starter, really. But I still thought he could have made more of an impact. But I guess it just sticks in your mouth because he ended up at Livingston.
That's probably the only sticking point. Like, I don't wish him any badness. Like, I hope he does okay. As in, like, I'm not fussed about Livingston doing okay, obviously. But I suppose it's a bit like the Barney situation. If he was to go there and, like, score a couple of goals, and he finishes he's the season on a high, fair enough for him personally. I do think it will be another relegation on his CV though. Do you know what I mean? That's the way it looks just now. I'm not overly convinced they've got wins in them to get them out of the position that they're in. But in terms of, you're right, like what he did for us, he came back looking to try and get us into the Premier League, and he did it. He's not had a lot of minutes this year. He's probably one of the higher earners, if not the highest earner. And let's face it, what's happened in the last 24, 48 hours is that we've extended Scott Bain's contract, and we have also just signed a striker from an English Premier League team. So that may well have contributed to us being able to do that.
I guess so. I mean, 2 year deal for Scott Bain, and absolutely deserves it, Ross. He's been outstanding.
It has, yeah. There's only so much you can say about him now that we've not already, and he's done amazingly well. We were told yesterday through the grapevine that I think he'd picked up a bit of a knock during the week, but he's not trained in the last few days to try and make sure he's okay for the Saturday, which he did, and he had another really good strong performance when he was called upon yesterday as well.
Absolutely. So great to have Scott Bain in the door, you know, and it is good because if he is keeps playing the way he's playing, he's going to be in Scotland contention, which means we could have a Falkirk player at the World Cup, which would be amazing. And who was the only other two Falkirk players to play at the World Cup?
Russell Latipe and oh my good, Denzel Theobald.
Well done, well done. That's a great fact. He didn't play one game for Falkirk, but played three games at the World Cup. Amazing,
Wow.
absolutely amazing. Ben Parkinson, obviously, you said talked about him there. Signed from Newcastle for a fee. My God,
Yes.
who was the last? I think John Stewart was the last player we paid a fee for. Maybe I am wrong, but I can't remember we've paid a fee for a player since John Stewart.
I can't recall.
Someone will
I know.
correct. Someone will correct me below.
Yeah. Was there not a little bit of a rumor we paid a small, very small fee for Keelan Adams? As in, like, it probably wouldn't have been much more than like five figures or something like that. But yeah, there was a rumor about that, but that's not confirmed. So yeah, John Stewart, Jesus, 50 grand we paid for John Stewart 20 years ago. Still shudders thinking about it. But I think, listen, we've paid a fee. I think I read somewhere, I can't recall if it was the Falkirk press release or if it was come from Newcastle. There's a sell-on fee being agreed as well, a percentage. So it all bodes well. He's obviously got a lot of good stuff being said about him. It's another one of the Alan Fraser Chief Scout picks, and he's worked alongside John McGlynn. I think Jack Ross was named, Ross Wilson was named. So let's hope it's a real positive move for the boy. And he obviously just had a little bit of a cameo yesterday, but he looks quick.
Absolutely. Really impressed by actually when he came on yesterday, and we'll talk about his performance when we get into the game as well, obviously. Leon McCann, common knowledge, 150 games he's now played for us. We didn't realise last week it was his 150th game against Aberdeen. Obviously, he's alongside Aidan Nesbitt, one of the longest serving players. And, you know, like getting that journey from League One into being an absolute brilliant player for us in the Premier League is incredible.
It is, yeah, no, and he's going strength to strength. We can't say enough good stuff about Leon. Another solid performance yesterday as well. As I say, just like who would, I know he's had the odd moment, he's had the odd knock back by John, he's had people playing in his position over him this season and previous seasons, but every time he just keeps fighting his way back into the team, and he deserves his starting position 100%.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So well done, Leon. 150 pounds, hopefully 150 more as well for us. Hearts tickets remain on sale. You can get them at the club shop. Obviously, we sold out against St Mirren yesterday anyway and looked brilliant. But there are tickets still left for that 8 o'clock kickoff next Saturday. Ross, you're not making it to the game, are you?
No, I can't next weekend. Can't get along, unfortunately, but I will have to make do with the TV.
I'm the same next weekend. I'll probably still be making this bed next weekend, the way it's going at the moment. But I won't be at the game, but I will be watching it on the telly as well. So
Yeah,
yeah, tickets
absolutely.
still on sale for that, and hopefully we can get a couple of thousand in that away end. Let's head into birthday corner now, however, and that's a belated happy birthday to Nicky Young. whose birthday was on Wednesday, and that's love from your husband Craig and all the family.
Indeed.
Not the birthday this week.
Yeah, just the players ones.
If you want a birthday shout out, just slide in our DMs, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast.
Indeed. A few players ones though. None for the next couple of days coming, but January 15th, Stephen O'Donnell, ex-Arsenal starlet, 40.
I think he's a manager now, or I'm sure he's like a manager in the Irish League now, Stephen O'Donnell.
He was managing over here at one point as well, wasn't he? Or no, I was no,
Paddy Craig, you're thinking of.
Paddy Craig was, yeah. 40, just like, it's these weird ones that make you feel old. You still remember as like 18. Michael Tidzer, on the same day, 36. And this is a shock. Dylan Macken, how is he only 29? He looked 39 when he played with us.
Who's played? I don't know Dylan Macken's playing. I mean, he was a kind of flash in the pan for us. Boy played
still in Albion, I think he went to, but God knows where he is now.
Kill winning Rangers, apparently, till 2024, so he might have retired now, so there you go. But that's mental. Derek McWilliams is on the 16th. Ben Hall as well. Ryan Shanley, one of the Invincibles, still playing for Stirling Albion as well. And Brian Kinnear. I don't remember Brian Kinnear.
Oh, you do. Remember, he was a goalie for about four or five years ago. He only played half a season or something like that. But
25. Yeah. Wonder where he is now.
Yeah.
Ben Hall was actually all right. He was one of these, one of the Hartley signs that I actually thought was all right.
Mm. Yeah, no, he did okay. And then he's been playing over in Ireland, hasn't he? Is he not playing for the same team, Linfield, that Callum Morrison's at? I think he is. I'm sure that's where he goes.
He's still there. Yeah, I actually thought he was actually not bad when he played for us. Because he came, was it Brighton or something we got him from? Or?
He was a youngster. I think, do you know, you're saying he was all right. He was all right for the time, but like he wouldn't get a sniff at this level.
Of course not.
So, but yeah, he was probably okay, but he was in a real poor forward team.
Yeah, 100%. On the 17th, it's Paul Mayers and Craig Taggart's birthday. Paul turned 56. Obviously, he was in and around that 97 Cup final squad. And Craig Taggart, God, that's going back a bit as well, 53.
You forget, because Craig Taggart, beg your pardon, was obviously just a youngster in the sort of early 90s. Yeah. And I always associate him in the same sort of squads as Sammy and Crunchy. But then he would have been 10 years younger than Sammy and Crunchy and what have you. So 53. I thought you hear the name and you think he's going to be older than that. But there you go.
There you go. Definitely weird. When I do these birthday calls, it just makes me feel old every time we do them. Listen, if you want a birthday shout out, slide into our DMs and we'll get you a shout out on the show. So from birthday corner, let's go into the draw for the FSS. This is the monthly draw that the Focus Support Society do. Remember, if you want to sign up for the FSS, for goodness sake, if you've not done it already, that's the only way we're going to move this club forward until the Taylor Swift comes in to buy us. You need to support the club by signing up to the FSS if you can. They'd really appreciate it. You know, I'm a member, Ross is a member. Do what you can each month, whether it's £10, £15, £20, whatever you can do. Support the club each month, because it's really important. You know, we're a fan-owned club, and the only way we continue doing that is by signing up for the FSS. So I think it's about 1,200 members now, is it, Ross?
Yeah, 1,300 members. It's growing. And as you said, John, it's a bit of a no-brainer. So if you can get involved and you're not already a member, please do. And you could win one of the monthly prizes that we're just about to announce.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations to Stephen Pearson. You have won 2 Pi Sports vouchers for yourself. Shout out to Pi Sports as well, and Ross at Pi Sports. We got some free pies from them yesterday, so thanks very much to Ross at Pi Sports. There you go, Stephen. You can get Pi Sports vouchers. You are 3rd on the draw. 2nd in the draw and winning a £30 behind the wall voucher. It is Jennifer Smiley. Congratulations, Jennifer. You get £30 to spend it behind the wall. Don't spend it all on Venoms. And finally, winning the boardroom hospitality. Very nice. It's Charles Johnston. There you go.
Fantastic. Yeah, well done, Charles, Jennifer and Stephen.
Yep, there you go. So, well done. And if you want to be in the draw next month, all you need to do is sign up to the Falkirk Supporters Society and you're automatically put into the draw, and we'll be doing it again next month. Before we get into the St Mirren game, let's say thank you very much to Behind the Wall, of course. Met Brian Flynn, owner of Behind the Wall, at the St Mirren game yesterday. He was absolutely cheesing. So he was loving life.
He was buzzing, wasn't he? He was buzzing.
Absolutely buzzing. I missed him in the pub on the way home, but loads of stuff going on at Behind the Wall. Remember, the bus to Celtic is still tickets available for that. It's £5 a ton with your beer on return of that. And it's Coors now. They've switched it up. It's now the Coors coach.
I like a pint of Coors. I think Coors is all right.
It's better than Carling, to be fair. It's better than Carling. So
It's better than Carling.
We thank you for your service, Carling. But it's now the Falkirk Daft Coors coach going from Behind the Wall down to the stadium. £5 return on Wednesday for Celtic. Hearts is still on sale as well. Still some spaces on that. It's £12.50 a ton, which is really good considering you get the pint when you get back to the pub as well. So that's 12.50. And of course, the Burnside by Tri-Steers is happening on the 23rd of January. So that is Burns Night. That's Dave, my little boy's birthday. I say little boy, he's 16. But Finlay's birthday's on the 23rd, so I won't make it along to that. But if you can get along, there you go. Tickets on sale for the Burns Night. It'll be a great night. Lots of whiskey, lots of haggis, lots of Burns. All the good stuff. And on the 31st of January, Fleeting Rumours, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac, are playing upstairs and behind the wall. Check out everything they've got going on at behindthewall.co.uk. Right, let's check in with our guest pundits and say hello to Dylan as we are about to speak about St Mirren.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global.
Right, so just appear behind the curtain, a bit like the Wizard of Oz. Let me tell you what's just happened. Dylan has just joined us. Hello, Dylan.
Hello, John.
But Ross's internet has just died. So it's just basically me and Dylan now talking about the game. No pressure on you, Dylan, but you've now got to be the ginger god of pod and take his place.
Sure. Hopefully, do good this week.
No worries, mate. Oh, listen, let's talk about St Mirren. You went there yesterday, Dylan. Were you there with the family?
Yeah, I was there with my granddad's. I go every week, so it was a good game.
So one change from the game against St Mirren, Cartwright came in for Wilson, with Parkinson going straight into the squad. What did you make of the changes? We were sitting in the pub, Dylan, and we're like, oh my God, what was going on here? We couldn't work out who was playing where, who was doing what, but obviously in John McGlynn we trust. And I still to this day can't work out who was playing where and where they were playing, but it worked. What did you make of the changes, Dylan?
I think as everyone was, I was confused by it. I think my understanding from it was like a 4-5-1 with Barney up top on his own and like Miller and some like the usual 10 role and the rest of them like 4-5-1, 4-4-1-1 sort of. And then, but no, like you said, it worked, so can't complain with it. I think it was just set up to nullify St Mirren based on the first game and what probably watching highlights of them from other games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was an interesting setup, but it worked. And as I say, in John McGlynn we trust. Great to see, obviously, Ben Parkinson come straight in for a start. Interestingly enough, Alfie Akinmino on the bench. That was an interesting change of thought.
It was weird, but it might. For all we know, with Parkinson being said to play up top and out wide, it might be Alfie going out on loan to someone possibly, and that might
Well,
just
yeah,
be
you never know.
the changes. Maybe.
You never know. It might be the case that Alfie, it's sad to see him not on the bench because we always know an impact, but there's only so many people you can get on the bench. Sam Hart's been absent from the bench for the last few weeks as well, which is interesting to see. But Alfie was that's the first time Alfie's not really been on the bench or not featured really. So, but as you say, they've got so many options and so much strength that he's certainly coming off the bench. Interesting. I thought it was going to be a bit of a rope-a-dope tactics in the 65 minutes. We'd play this way, we'd not keep it really narrow. Playing to try and dominate the midfield, which we did. but then bring on the cavalry. And he didn't have to really bring on the cavalry. He didn't have to get the bugle out because we were just, we certainly in the second half absolutely coasted that game, Dylan. But let's talk about the first half. You know, it started really well. It was a bit of a 50-50 game, I think, in that first half.
It was definitely much, much more, much cagey in the first 45. Like, I thought maybe first 10, 20 minutes, like, we're a better team, as I think has been the case all season. And then St. Mirren, they grew into it, played their game. And then, it was very 50-50, but probably not much.
Yeah.
can't mind much more from the first half, apart from in Lundaloo, lunging in to Bain.
Oh God, yeah, that was a terrible tackle. Do you think it was a red card? A lot of people around us thought it was a red card.
From my angle, it very much looked like it was high, very much more reckless, but I think I've not seen any other angles of it, so I think
I don't think it actually even made the BBC highlights when I watched it last night. It was a reckless challenge, and I actually thought it was a yellow myself, but I know a lot of people were crying for a red around me.
Ones could go either way.
It could have, absolutely. Dylan Tate had a chance. I mean, the closest we came in that first half was when he hit the bar. Good work from Barney Stewart to lay it off to him, who, again, Barney really impressed by him. Some of his touches were great. You know, he gives you such a good option, Dylan, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And he's just one of you can definitely see, comparing this time last year when he was coming in to now, how well he's developed. Like, I think last year, if he was in that position, he might have not been as, probably would have not had as accurate a pass, or might have taken the shot on himself, but definitely he's came up as one of the, probably, I think this Bill McKeever comes fully back, is probably going to be the striker up top.
Do you think Ross will go back straight back inside as opposed to Barney?
I think it probably depends on what, and Ross's performance when he comes back into the team, you know, if it's a good one, like maybe he gets an assist or just does really well, then possibly, but I wouldn't rush him back right away to starting. It'd be probably McGlynn special, 60 minutes, 65 minutes, bring him on.
Yeah.
For Barney.
I do think, you know, Barney did play well, created chances, and another player that I thought was excellent was Calvin Miller, who was outstanding throughout the whole match, and, you know, he was great. You know, he just drove us forward, and it was like, again, he was kind of playing the 10, which he's kind of revelled in, and he kind of had a free role just to do whatever he wants, because we had such a you know, tight midfield, you know?
I definitely think McGlynn's learned that playing Miller in the 10 this season is probably the way forward from now on. And unless we bring someone who's a better number 10 than him, I wouldn't even sub him off for Nesbitt Williams or that, because he's doing that well in it. And I wouldn't put him out wide even if we had an injury out there.
Yeah, Henderson, Hendo in that first half had a bit of an off day, and I always put it down to the excuse of people that have got new babies. They probably had a bad night with the baby that night, but three missed passes from Liam Henderson is a first for everything.
Sometimes just happens with players, you know, maybe have an off first half where it's not that good, second half, you know, coast through it. Just swings, just how it plays out. You know, he done well to defend the misplaced passes from the three or four that he had in that first half, which is all you can ask for, you know, recover from the mistakes.
Yeah, he certainly did recover from his mistakes as well. I mean, he went on to have a really good second half, Liam. But yeah, very unHeindl-like. With it was kind of right in the road, and you know they had a good chance, which off the back of one of the chance Heindl mistakes as well. Another good chance they had was when Barney had a misplaced pass, and it fell you know, it was a bit of a scramble in the box after it. But luckily, Scott Bain was there to. In fact, it was the offside goal. Barney Stewart had the missed pass, and then obviously it was a mile offside though. I hate that rule. Hate that rule because I think it was like it just gives you that little boost, doesn't it? It gives the opposition that little boost when you have an offside goal, but it was clearly a mile offside.
Aye, it was, and like you say, the rule's a bit crap, but you know, devil's advocate. A player gets called offside right away and one has a one-on-one and he might not be offside, you know. There's probably a reason for it, but it's just
I think it's so obvious as that one was. It's like, what are you doing?
The funny thing with it is when they're celebrating, you've seen the ends of the stands that were closest to the offside didn't celebrate as much, whilst the farther end of the stadium was celebrating. It's quite funny to see it.
It was a bit of a heart and mouth moment, but I think everyone around us is going, why? It's miles off, absolutely miles off. But yeah, a couple of chances in first and mid in that first half. You know, we probably had the best one we'd take coming off the bar. Scott Bain had a couple of good saves, one really good one with his feet, held another one quite easily as well, but nothing really troublesome for Scott Bain. You know, it wasn't any outstanding saves, and as ever, his distribution was excellent yesterday. But we get into the second first half, looking all right, and then second half, we just came out absolute guns a blazing, didn't we?
Yeah, guns blazing. Like you say, it's probably just, I think it was just a bit of sitting with the amount of subs they made at half time. Probably, I think it was enforced due to injury, just kind of unsettled them. And just, I think we took advantage of the players being maybe not as experienced as the ones on the pitch and just knew to find the net twice.
Absolutely. We knew it exactly where the net was. Let's talk through the first goal. Outstanding from Finn Yeats. Great ball over the top from Dylan Tate. Calvin Miller forces the goal. I don't know, Shamal George obviously, you know, was injured in the match, but like, I don't know what he was doing coming out that much. I mean, Cal Miller was going through, but there was defenders covering. But listen, I'm all here for it. Yeah. You know, coming out, almost tackling Cal Miller, falls to Finn Yeats, and what a finish, Dylan.
Yeah. Before it happened, I actually went to the toilet.
Oh, did you miss it?
I didn't see it. Yeah. So I missed it. But when I seen it back on the highlights, there was that. Quite a good goal.
What a goal to miss. I was right behind it, and it was that way where I was just like, get down, get down, get down. It's in! It just wrestled into the back of that kind of side net, Finn, what a finish from him. Interesting celebrations, though. Like, I don't know what it was, but like, obviously, he was going right. He gave it the old shush to the crowd, and then he said, fuck off. So I don't know if someone in the crowd was having a go at him, and he's just told them to fuck off, or if it's just been an explosion of emotion from him.
Yeah. Possibly, who knows? But you know, you take the goal, and as you say, Shamal George, don't know what he's doing, because if Miller goes down, if makes contact with Miller, he's off. You know, and that Mullen comes on before he needed to.
Yeah.
So,
but 35 yards out, and what a goal from young Finn, who's, you know, Finney-esque at his best. You know, he just revels in whatever role and whatever position the manager gives him, and he's been excellent. He really has been excellent, and just so industrious. But Finn, let us know what you were doing with that celebration, telling people to fuck off. I'm intrigued to find out if it was someone in the crowd. And it didn't take long for another goal to come, Dylan, either. Calvin Miller again at it. Bit of build up from the left hand side, and he's obviously goes through, reacts to the block shot, and then he's in, goalkeeper, and a brilliant finish for him.
Aye, I was able to see this one this time, but as I say, it was, you know, great touch, you know, just to react first. I think that's what Falk TV said somewhere to Dundee United goal, you know,
yeah,
get reacts first before defenders or keeper, and he just puts it away as tidy as you want from that type of an angle, and I think he was halfway down on the ground when he hit it, you know.
And it was great. I think we'll give Finn Yeats the assist for it as well, because it was his header that laid it into Calvin Miller.
Yeah. Aye.
So, you know, goal and an assist for Finn.
10 minutes of block shot. Aye.
Absolutely. We'll give the assist to Finn as well. And then that was it. 2-0 and absolutely coasting. And then that's when I actually thought the cavalry would have been on a lot further than it did. But four subs then come on.
Yeah.
Calvin, Barney, Henry and Finn all going off. And then the fast boys all came on. Kyrell, Ethan, two Ethans, and Ben Parkinson making his Falkirk debut as well. Obviously, what did you make of the substitute's impact on the game, Dylan?
Well, it was, to be honest, more of the same, you know. Miller and Finn, fast players, come out going off. Wilson, Williams, fast players, no alley, operate. And just and Parkinson coming on for Barney makes sense. Both quite strong strikers, so it's no real complaints from it, from the subs. And I think all four of them had a good impact, and a bit of a shame that Parkinson didn't get the tap in from when Wilson squared it. Yeah. I think it was Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, that Kyrie Wilson was just like completely caught in two minds with that. He didn't know where to shoot, he didn't know where to pass. It was almost like he was trying to get Ben Parkinson a goal in his debut, but like Kyrie probably should have just absolutely emptied it himself. It should have been a goal, and it should have been 3-0, really.
Probably. It should have been, but win's a win.
Absolutely. Yeah. VAR called in as well in that second half. A lot of people again shouting for a penalty, because it looked like the guy actually caught the ball, but I don't know where he could put his hands, to be fair. So it would have been maybe a bit harsh if the penalty had been given. What did you make of that, Dylan?
I do think it was could have been a bit harsh on him, and watching the highlights back, even if it was obvious from the fans' angle, the angles they had, you couldn't tell, you know.
Yeah.
Could be off his chest, could be off his hands from their view, you know. You can't do much about it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was crying for a penalty in that, and then obviously the chance of fuck VAR went up as well after that. Great to see the final sub that we brought on after our mental four player sub. It was Cole Donaldson getting onto the pitch, coming on for Philippe Lisa in that last bit, just to kind of shore up the defence and add a bit of physicality. And actually Cole had a bit to do. He blocked a shot, and then I think he was, you know, he had a wee bit to do when he came onto the park. It was a lovely moment. Obviously Brad giving the armband to Cole, and him getting to do the Falkirk Daft armband presentation at the end of the match. So I love to see that.
It's good to see him. Good to see him back. Like, you know, I think he's that'll probably be the extent of what we see him, unless there's injuries, you know, coming on maybe 30 minutes or so to go if we're winning a game, you know, just to close it up. And that'll probably be the same if and when Lang comes back.
Yeah, but he'll find it very hard, I think, to get inside. Certainly the way Conor Allen was playing as well. It was outstanding again yesterday. In fact, there was no failure on that park yesterday. Every Monta man was absolutely brilliant. You could pick it, you know, we'll get into Falkirk Daft rated in a minute, but you could pick all 11 players, including subs as well. Anyone could have got it yesterday. It was an outstanding performance, and just great. I mean, I think any point away is great, but to hit that 15-point marker that McGlynn set out with a game to spare, and we all know it's going to be a tough game come Wednesday against Celtic, it was great to see.
It's good to see, you know, I'd take any point away from home, but 3 points away from home at Samarin is always a good point.
Yeah.
You know, good win, and hitting targets before you reach them. I think it's 10 points, which will be 3 wins and a draw between now and the end of the season to reach the theoretical safety limit of 40. You know,
I think, yeah, I think one more win will do it. Now, I'm at the point, maybe
I think it'll be one more win.
One or two more wins and we're, you know, we're pretty much safe, I think. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to say right now, I'm obviously the pessimist on this podcast, but I'd love to say that, and I would like to say that we are safe now, but I won't bring myself to say that because I'm always worried. I'm just a stress monkey, Dylan. Right. Let's hear what Stephen McGinn, who was doing the post-match after Stephen McGinn, that should be like the son of John, but let's hear what Stephen McGinn, who was doing the media duties after the match, had to say.
Stephen, a really impressive performance, another great win, that's back-to-back wins now to kick off 2026.
Yeah, delighted with 3 points, obviously coming here, we're in good form, we've been playing well. Getting boys back fit, really strong squad travelling through here, and we wanted to give ourselves a platform to get the 3 points today. I thought we did that in the first half and we really kicked on again in the second half.
A wee bit of a change of shape today, I'm sure it had the fans kind of scratching their heads when the lineup was released. Can you tell us a wee bit about the tactical decision going into the game?
Yeah, well, I know sometimes the fans like it in an order where they can work it out, but we were just trying to catch St Mirren out by surprise. We know we play with wingers, but we felt we could outnumber them in the midfield, and if we could break through their initial press, then we'd have lots of space to play and get through them in the counter-attack or transition, whatever you want to call it. But we felt we could get the 4v3 in midfield, and I think it really worked. I thought we passed the ball so well at times. We were really, really brave. There's ones even early into the game. Liam Henderson plays one touch into Brad Spencer and totally hurts a press when you play football as quick as that. So delighted with it.
How impressed are you with this team that, you know, they've got a certain way of playing, a certain style, a certain shape, and then when you change that up, you know, they can display a performance like that?
Yeah, well, early in the season when we played St Mirren, we were probably the ones that had injuries. We were probably not into a rhythm in the Premiership, and St Mirren, I thought they played well on the day, and they edged it out. We knew coming in here that they had troubles with injuries and suspensions, even throughout the game, stop start for them, but that's out of our control. The one thing we can't do is almost let the game get away from you. It could have killed the momentum or rhythm in the game, but it didn't. We got stronger and stronger the longer the game went on, and yeah, we're absolutely delighted with a really, really fine away performance.
Just a word on the new signing, Ben. He came in today, got some minutes. Impressed by kind of the little cameo he had today?
Yeah, I mean, Kerrell's tried to get my debut goal. I'm not sure what, I think he overcooked it. But yeah, I mean, he's someone we've targeted for a long time. We thought we were getting him in the summer. Then we thought we were missed out. Then he came back onto the radar. And as the manager said, we thanked the club for kind of continuing to build from a position of strength and backing us to bring Ben in. And I think he showed the fans travelling through here that he's an all-round striker. He's got a wee bit of everything. He's still obviously got to fill out. He's young in the game, but he's got loads of attributes for us to work with.
There you go, Steve McGinn there, talking through the match. And good to hear about Ben Parkinson. Obviously, I think he was on the radar and a lot of people were saying he was rumoured to be coming last season and end up at the club. And, you know, it's good that we have that connection. I'm a Newcastle supporter, Dylan, so, you know, it's good. I'm loving the fact we've got that connection with the Toon Army. It was obviously Ross Wilson and Jack Ross, both Falkirk lads, being involved at Newcastle now. So it's a great avenue to explore now. The boys doing their hometown club a favour. So that was good. And I was really surprised, actually, with Ben Parkinson, actually, how tall he was. I wasn't expecting that. I think he's over 6 foot. Looked like a bit of a physical unit and looked a bit fast, but looked like he had a bit about him as well. So maybe fits our mould more than someone like Trey did.
Yeah, definitely think so, you know. I think it was a Newcastle fan account saying he's about 6'3", something like that. So definitely, I think someone I could learn a lot from Brian Graham specifically.
Yeah,
you know?
It's another one addition to the Brian Graham learning tree. So there we go. So Barney and now Ben underneath the Brian Graham learning tree. And then Ross still to come back as well. So there are plenty of options up front now. I mean, I'm pretty sure Brian will be pissed off that he didn't get off the bench yesterday, but as long as he's passing on his wisdom to these guys, it's definitely worth it. And, you know, we'll wait and see what happens with Ben. Let's go to your comments then, see what you had to say about the match. Tam Black, first in, we put up a gif of Rodney saying, giving the finger, saying, when you get 3 points and fuck off the road. And he's responding by saying, look at the league table on the road, home two. Bonnie, douche, lads. That's a bit of on only fools and horses banter. You're too young for that, though, Dylan.
Yeah, definitely.
Stephen Thompson said, Gaffer had the game on point. I was a bit confused with the passing in the first half, but I see now McGuinn was setting them up to annoy them and put them to the sword in the second half. In McGuinn, we trust. Course we do. James Adam, absolutely fantastic result today from John and all team. So proud to be a Falkirk Bane as always. Also, it's so great proving everyone wrong. Roll on Wednesday, expect the unexpected. Come on, you Bairns. Hobart saw him in the pub yesterday as well. He said first half we kept them quiet, second half battered them. Should have been more than two, to be honest. Feels like another fantastic Saturday night, Bairns, and it certainly was. Stevie Gibson, I saw Stevie at the match yesterday as well. He gave me the finger from afar. He said had draw written all over it in the first half. However, slight change second half, and there was only one winner. One word, pleasing. Like that. Highway 62 says, underestimate Falkirk at your peril. That was a solid top six performance today, and we're still strengthening the squad. Everyone put a shift in today, but Yeats and Lisa for me were especially outstanding. Scott McDonald, who also left his, by the way, Scott McDonald's going to be our guest pundit, and that was last week we saw him in hospitality, and he left his car lights on, and he got that call from across the stadium, and he had to move his car because he was blocking all the coaches getting on. So shout out to Scott, but he says, really solid performance, second half was simply brilliant, Finn's goal sublime, Calvin sensational all game, topped off with a good goal, 5 points clear in sixth place. The departure lounge is on the radar, hashtag Wayne Plain. He had that stupid, he was on earlier on before his internet died, and he had a bloody Wayne Plain background, who knew. And finally, Kyle Sansom says, who are we all fancying in the qualifiers? Don't get ahead of yourself, guys, come on, keep it calm, 10th is fine, 10th is fine.
I heard the ultra singing. He's the reason chant. I'm not sure what they were singing, if it was Premiership this season or Conference League next season.
Conference League next season, brilliant. There was an Ultras chant yesterday that I hadn't heard before as well, so we need to find out for the Ultras to educate all the old people what the words were for it, because I was trying to work out what the words were yesterday. So, yes, please get in touch with us, one of the Gate 20 guys, and let us know what the new song is and the words, so all us old people can start singing it as well. Let's go for the Falkirk Daft rated from you then. Dylan, who do you reckon? There's plenty of candidates to choose from.
It's a hard, very hard choice, you know. I'd probably, I think, like, safe bet is Yeats, you know, goal and assist in the game, and just generally done quite well wherever, if it was in centre mid or out on the right wing, where I think he ended up near the end of the second half, you know. Like, just all over the pitch was just great. It deserves man of the match. The fuck with that read.
Do you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I thought there was a couple of contenders. So Philip Lisa was excellent, as ever. I thought Leon McCann was great. Connor Allen was outstanding. The whole midfield just worked so hard. But yeah, I think if we're giving him the assist, we're giving him a go, and he worked hard. Calvin Miller must be hard done by, because he was excellent yesterday. Well, and actually, Calvin Miller has not had a Falkirk Daft rated vote this season.
That's a surprise, because there's plenty of great games, especially of late.
I know, surprising, but yeah, Finn Yeats, I'll go with Finn Yeats for that. You got any dafties?
You know, I think Shamal George, you know, just for coming out with Miller, going out for the Miller goal, and just his general time-wasting antics, and then going off injured. I mean, just...
He had a nightmare. Yeah, he had a bit of a nightmare. Yeah, Shamal George. So let's give it to Shamal George, or I could give it to myself for being late home and getting in trouble with a wife. But we'll go Shamal George then. I think that is it. Brilliant. Well, listen, Dylan, thanks for coming on. Thanks for jumping in, being the substitute ginger god of pod. We'll see. Hopefully Ross's internet will get sorted for next week or for Thursday's preview. Enjoy the Celtic game, and thanks for coming. You get to avoid Falkirk Daft versus, because Ross isn't here, so lucky you. Oh. So that's fine. He was doing the questions this week, but I've got a funny feeling if there'd been older questions, Dylan, you're a bit younger, so I might have had you on.
Yeah, the extent of my knowledge is anything probably past 2012.
There you go. And Dylan runs the if you're in hospitality ever, Dylan has the wee pop-up shop, and he runs the pop-up shop, and he also does the goes around with the shirt off the back as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And it opens in the main stand before the match and at halftime as well. You know, get any Falkirk branded apparel or shirt off the back tickets.
There you go. So look out for Dylan if you're in hospitality. Say hello to him. Say, oh, you were on Falkirk Daft. There you go. Brilliant. Listen, Dylan, thanks for joining us on Falkirk Daft this evening.
Thank you very much.
So goodbye, Dylan, and hello to Craig McCaffrey. Chippy, he's been on this podcast before, and he is here to preview the game against Celtic on Wednesday night. Hello, Craig. How are you?
All right, mate, how you doing? All good. Thank you very much. Celtic won at the weekend, which was nice. So I
There you go. But unfortunately, Rangers are back above you on the table now. Is that right?
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah, I don't think it wasn't ever any doubt given how bad Aberdeen are at the moment. So it's no surprise. But it's very tight at the top. Hearts continue to march on, and we'll see what happens as we get through January, right?
Well, exactly, and you've got your game in hand. You'll go a game ahead of Hearts, actually, when you play. I think I'm just having a look at the league tables because of obviously today. So Celtic on 41 on 21 games. Hearts, obviously, 6 points ahead of you and 47 points. And then Rangers, you've got a game in hand against them, but you can go level. If you win on Wednesday, Craig, let's talk about Falkirk versus Hearts at the stadium on Wednesday. I mean, Celtic have just been a basket case, as have Rangers this season. I've never known a season like it regarding the Old Firm.
No, it's been wild. And there's a bit of might have seen it coming. I just think the mood, I've been on here before and talked to it, right? I think we'd maybe just done the podcast and Rodgers had left. Not long after that, maybe a week or so. So that it just felt like it was brewing. And then we suddenly had a bit of a fever dream in the last 6 weeks or 5 weeks or however long it was, 33 days to be exact, I think, for Wilfred Nancy. It was like, this is not going to go down well with any younger listeners, but that Dallas scene and Bobby Ewing's in the shower, and I was like, did that really just happen? Did we just appoint a guy that had no right to be Celtic manager? For 6 weeks. And yeah, he did. He lost 6 out of 8 games and conceded 18 goals. Yeah, that really did happen.
Mental think. Like, I think I heard the stat as well that no team has lost 6 games in the league and went on to win the league.
Yeah, there's a few stats kicking around like that. And I think, I don't know if that's true or not. I think there's possibly 9 games being lost, but I think whoever wins the league this year, I think the points total will be probably potentially like the record, probably the lowest it's been. I think 9 is maybe the max. So yeah, if we want to do it, we ain't got much wiggle room to kind of kick on. So yeah, it's just been a really, really strange season. And Celtic, I think I've been on here before and talked about it. Celtic's a mess, like for top to bottom. It's just, it's possibly one of the worst assembled Celtic squads that I can think of. And I'm going to sound like a bit of a Celtic dad here, but generally since the 90s, but with a lot of money being spent on it, the difference in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of money spent on it, but this squad's had a lot of money spent on it to be so disjointed and just lacking in so many gaps. Like, for Celtic not to have an out-and-out centre forward when we've been needing one since January is just a beggar's belief that we don't have a striker in the building. It's absolutely wild.
Do you think they'll have someone in before Wednesday's game?
No. I generally...
There's not even been any rumours or anything, has there?
No. And the chat when we were going to the game yesterday was like, so... Clearly, we've not had anyone lined up, despite the fact known. So, regardless of who the manager is, you surely think that you've got maybe a list of strikers of different capabilities. Maybe one's a target man and is going to score X amount of goals, and another's like a poacher or whatever. And you've maybe got like 6 to 8 targets of those players, and you think, right, okay, we know who we're going to get now, and none of that's coming to fruition. And then we try and go and get Kyogo, again, as we were told by his agent that potentially he wanted to come, that he was looking for first team football. Kyogo then doesn't come, that gets out in the press, and again, it just makes us look stupid.
Yeah.
And the other thing would be that Paul Tisdale was gone, and Paul Tisdale's record of signings has been absolutely appalling. And it just went, do you know what, we're not trusting anything that this guy
just
does.
Just rip up,
rip up the list.
Yeah.
So it's just been a mess.
It's mental to think that, you know, last time, obviously, we played Celtic at Celtic Park. We were both there. But Mark, that was Martin O'Neill's comeback game. We obviously got turned over 4-0, which was the exact same score that you won by. Switching back to the back four, tried and tested. There was any surprise that happened. But it's just meant we've missed a whole Celtic manager since the last time we played you.
It's absolutely baffling. It's crazy. How Wilfred Nancy, and it'll be one of the great stories, is how did Wilfred Nancy ever end up in front of someone's desk? Because there was nothing to suggest that he should be appointed Celtic manager. And then we're back to Martin O'Neill version 3. We're kind of running out of managers that we keep going back to. Celtic live in sort of retrotopia, where we go and get a manager, they leave, they come back, we go and get a manager, they leave, they come back. We've not really got anyone left we can do that with. We're kind of struggling with that, unless we suddenly go and get Gordon Strachan in the summer, which is the only one that's not been back. But it does kind of, you do wonder what's going to happen. But O'Neill came in obviously Saturday, and as to be expected, five entrusted back four, and who knew? Who knew that you put the right players in the right positions and you don't concede goals after conceding 18 goals under Nancy? We'll be playing at a three, where players are just really designed to play in a three. And suddenly there. And listen, if I'm Martin O'Neill, there's part of me that's raging, because you could be sitting there with...
Could have been top. I think you would have actually been top of the league if O'Neill had stayed. And very interesting. How did you look? I mean, obviously, formation aside and putting the right players into the right positions, how did you look on Saturday under O'Neill?
Yeah, I mean, pretty good, to be fair. It was enjoyable, and there was a confidence, I think, as well, in terms of you're going in at half time, which seemed to have been the way under Nancy, that people would play Celtic first half, kind of keep the score to a kind of minimum, and be in the game or be leading, as we've seen in a few occasions as well, and then make some tweaks, and guess what? That team then comes out and we don't combat it. And we win. So Saturday had that confidence that actually we wouldn't concede. Missing hundreds of, just missing chances. And Yang seems to have come on to a real game as good again on Saturday. Yeah. Not just going forward, but going backwards as well. Tereke, after coming back from a hardly great African Nations tournament, was actually pretty good and was doing the simple thing, which was no trying to beat his man 6 times and put the ball across. But we missed. Maeda had a couple of chances. A few other, Hatate should have scored. He was probably our poorest player on Saturday. And I think there's a case for him not to play against yourselves. And then Johnny Kenny gets put through one-on-one, and Johnny Kenny does what Johnny Kenny does, and he doesn't score, and he misses, and you're like, it's just, that was a terrible, terrible finish. You're like, how do you not score that? So, yeah, we looked much more disheveled in terms of the defensively, but everyone, you just knew it was a team that just knew that what they were meant to be doing, and there was just a bit of a confidence amongst the team to kind of go and play. And it was record. In the sort of two spells, he's won quite a few games by four. Yeah, there's been some scrappy games, but he's scored quite a few goals under his stewardship so far.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of those high-scoring games was against us as well, where we were kind of skilled at Celtic Park that night off the back. And Johnny Kenny actually scored against us as well twice. So there you go. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I'm obviously, from a Falkirk perspective, looking forward to Wilfred Nancy's Celtic arriving at the stadium so the McGlynn Reaper could have done the hat-trick, Martin, Thielen and Nancy. But it wasn't happening. Obviously, Martin O'Neill's turned up with this new... Well, I suspect it'll be... Was it 4-3-3 he's went for on?
Yeah, it's a 4-3. It's definitely a 4-3-3 in terms of your two wide players and then Maeda playing sort of through the middle. And I imagine until we get a striker in the building, that'll be the way they'll be playing, I suppose.
So Yang out on one wing and Tanecki was out on the other one. But right, yeah, okay. And then obviously McGregor, Hatate, and who's in the 10?
Thought it was Engels. Engels
in the 10, interesting.
Yeah, scored and probably should have scored another one, to be fair. And I imagine that might get tweaked for midweek. I see Hatate was, I think, probably the worst substitute appearance that I've ever seen from a Celtic player. When he came on against Rangers, I don't think he found a Celtic player once. He was absolutely abysmal, and I don't think he was all that great yesterday. A shot where you think he just needs to sort of keep it low and roll it into the net. He's absolutely tries to leather it, and Sky, he just seems a little bit off. There just seems to be something with Rio and like not getting involved in goal celebrations. And Negrin comes on and Negrin scores. And he's
for a player you don't rate as well, he seems to have scored a lot of goals this season, Negrin.
Yeah, we think that's 13, and he's just done that. He's an enigma of a player. I don't think he's strong enough, but I said to the boy next to me, like, when he comes on, I'm like, he'll probably score and shoot his feet. Ball lands at his feet and he puts the ball in the back of the net. So he's certainly scoring goals. He's a top goal scorer this season. But it's just weird. But I don't think that Tati will play. I think you'll probably see Negrin start. And like I say, he does seem to know where the back of the net is. If we can get three pieces to the puzzle, then I think we'll be a much better team moving forward for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I do think he would come up against a different Falkirk side. It was weird the last time we went to Celtic Park. McGlynn was almost took it as a kind of like, oh, well, we're going to get beat anyway. So he experimented, put out a couple of wins. I don't know how Falkirk will line up to on Wednesday because, you know, the John McGlynn 4-3 usually will match up in formation, but the last he just goes mental. That like at St Mirren, we played with four midfielders, and then it was almost very imbalanced in the way we played with Calvin Miller and Barney Stewart up front, and then Finn Yeats just kind of floating about as well. It was very strange, but I don't know if he'll just go back to old faithful and bring in Kyrie Wilson and for maybe Henry Cartwright on Wednesday. And then kind of go 4-3-3 and match up with his. But in McGlynn, we trust, and who knows, he will cook something up like he did against Motherwell when we played this more mad 4-2-2-2 formation. So we don't know what's going to happen come Wednesday, but I think he'll see this as an opportunity because it's a free hit for us. He's hit his 15-point target that he wants to hit for this quarter. So effectively a free hit for us, and I do think we could maybe snatch a point for the game, hopefully.
It's a weird one, right? Because there's almost, I don't know how you feel about it, you probably feel differently. I remember listening to his pre-Christmas, and you were talking about like the points total and where do you sit. There's almost a point now where you can probably relax a little. In terms of, like, you're safe, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we're closer to Celtic. We're 11 points off Celtic, and we're, you know, when you look at down the table, we're 16 points away from that second bottom spot.
It feels like he's a way, way, like, out of any bother at all. So there's a little bit of, like, I don't so much see it as a free hit for you. Like, he's at home, like, and you've got your fan base will not allow the game to kind of be, and it'll be a different one, right, as opposed to, like, 2,000 fans shoved into the shittest corner of Celtic Park. But at least with this one, there's a little bit of, your home support, and, like, yeah, and there's only about 900 Celtic fans will be there, so it's not exactly going to be, like, a big, and he says he's played well, he's played incredibly well, and I think, yeah, full testament to, like, be sitting sixth in the league and comfortably. Yeah, sort of the best of the rest, because the rest of the teams have been up and down. Yous have been pretty consistent. Yous are going to get beat. That's just the nature of the game. But it feels like yous are in a fairly solid position, which must be great. it sort of come January to be sitting going, right, we've got 36 points or whatever it is. Must be pretty good from a Falkirk fan's point of view, right?
Yeah. 30 points we're sitting on at the moment, which is incredible. Which, like, I mean, sitting in sixth position. It's been a mad season, though, with everything that's going on around elsewhere. So that's kind of worked in our favour, I think, a bit with, you know, Motherwell being so good and taking, you know, and Hibs being pretty good as well. Those players. And, I mean, obviously, what it hasn't worked is that Celtic and Rangers have had clubs, including ourselves. Obviously, we've not been beaten by Rangers this season. We've taken 2 points off of Rangers this season, so it's been really interesting, and that's kind of worked in our favour a wee bit as well. So, but yeah, if you told me we'd be sitting six come this time, and looking, I'm not going to say it yet, but when you're 20 points away from Livingston, 16 points away from Kilmarnock, you know, a draw at the weekend there was great for us. So I would let touch wood, I would say we are safe now, and it would just be a case of, if you know, we can keep pushing and you know, potentially ending in that top six, who knows.
Yeah, listen, and there's also a great bit as well, right? Livingston have got the saviour to come and save them from relegation, the legend that is Scotty Arfield, right? I'm absolutely delighted that he's left your building. Absolutely, you know my feelings on Scotty Arfield. So
yeah,
you must be delighted that he's gone and joined the team that you can't beat.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, I'm 100% certain he'll come off the bench and probably score against us as well. Which should make the night with Scott Arfield and Russell Latapy at the Inshire really interesting. But no, you know, we've all made our peace with it all. We've all made our peace with it all. And if Livy are splashing the cash, fair play to them. But you know, they're going to need to do something. But yeah, score predictions for Wednesday.
I think 3-1. I think we'll win 3-1. We seem to be scoring, like, weirdly, we do seem to be scoring, like, under a nail, we seem to be scoring goals. But listen, it might, 3-1, 2-1, but I think I'll sit my neck out with 3-1. And I just fancy Negre and Maeda, when they're on the pitch, they tend to score. So we may get another one from somewhere else. Yang seems to be in a bit of scoring form at the moment as well.
Fair play. I think it'll be 1-1. I'm going to take a draw. Take a draw in this one. And that, you know, if it was Wilfried Nancy's Celtic were playing, I would have predicted a Falkirk win. But it's very different. So we'll wait and see. And I'll be interested to see what we line up with. Like I say, I suspect Kyrie Wilson might come back in for Henry Cartwright, or maybe Ethan Williams. Who knows? They might even experiment with putting our new sign Ben Parkinson up front. We will wait and see.
I've seen that from Newcastle, right? Yeah. Currently as well.
Yep. Permanent signing, so, but Barney's done very well since he's come back, so we'll wait and see. Or who knows, he might fancy Big Brian to lead the line and just do Brian Graham things against Liam Scales and Trusty, because I think you know, he does what he wants, Brian Graham, so we'll wait and see. Right,
Barney Stewart goes to the Neil Lennon finishing school and learns his trade there before he comes back to you.
Ah, listen, there's been a heavy debate in this podcast, but listen, he scored 8 goals in 13 appearances, and they were still, most of them were consolation goals, so great. I'll offer that. Right, listen, before you go, Chippy, you did this the last time. How well do you know your team quiz? We'll let you had 6 points, and you're currently sitting 4th on the table. We'll let you see if you can better your points score, and we'll give you 60 seconds on the clock. You can pass what you want. You've got 10 questions here in front of me. You up for it?
On you go.
Right here,
I'm getting better after last 2 attempts, so let's see if we can make it tough times a charm.
Let's go. Right, your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's final goal against Dundee United on Saturday?
Benjamin Eden.
Who wears shirt number 23 this season?
Yang.
Who has scored more goals this season, Maeda or Nygren?
Nygren.
After Falkirk, who does Celtic play next?
We play Auchinleck Talbot.
Who is Celtic's current chairman?
Brian Wilson.
What is Celtic's current goal difference, +17 or +19?
+19.
What season did Celtic last win the treble?
I'm terrible with the years. 20, whatever, Andrew. So 2023 season, I think. Yeah, must be 2023.
Which Celtic player received the most Scotland caps whilst at Celtic?
Paul McStay.
How many days was Nancy manager of Celtic for?
33.
Prior to Callum McGregor, who was Celtic captain?
Scott Brown.
Up. There we go. I think Ross has made these questions far too easy. He wrote them tonight. Maeda scored the last goal against.
So he did, right?
So there you go. Tonight, Keith's number 23, so didn't get that. Nigrin, you got. Talbot, you got. Brian Wilson, you got. Plus 17, not plus 19. It was the 2023 season. Tom Boyd, not Paul McStay. Tom Boyd got 66 caps. His boy was at Celtic. There you go. You got, and Scott Brown you got. So you've equaled your total of six. So there we go. Still four. There you go. Well done on that. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Chippy. Appreciate that. And worst of luck to you on Wednesday.
I know, but we play you Wednesday, then we play you 1st of February. It feels like we play you very quickly in a couple of games back to back. So, yeah.
Wounded doubt, see you in this podcast again. Thanks, mate.
No worries, mate. See you later on.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. I'm all on my own. I've been left on my own, but I have to tell you about the Falkirk football fans in training before we go. They are down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30, with their Elite Academy and Legends section and the Over 50 section as well. Get in the new year with the new you. And go and join the boys for a kickabout down at the Falkirk Stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. And the Kelpies Cup is coming soon. We'll have details for that when we get them from the boys. Thanks to you very much for the guys sponsoring the podcast. Help your mental health. Get fit in the new year by going down to the stadium and join them every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. The links are below. Speak to Ian, Willie, or Doogie. And they will give you the chat for that. And thank you very much for listening. It's a very strange edition of Falkirk Daft. We've had Ross at the start, we lost him. Then we had Dylan, then we had Chippy, Craig there to talk about the game. So I'm left alone, but I'll tell you right now, sign up to social channels. You can get us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can get Falkirk Daft bucket hats at pintsandprints.co.uk, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And join the Discord channel, link is below. If you want to sponsor the show, we'd love for you to do that as well. John@falkirkdaft.co.uk, drop us an email, we'll get you on and mention your company and say great things about you. But until next time, I'm going to have to do the last line since Ross isn't here. Expect the unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk head, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.